And happy Halloween.
I got a rock.
Hey everybody, welcome to another excitingly creepy episode of the Every Day is Halloween podcast. Today is, I guess, May 11th. Yeah, May 11th, 2015. How are you guys doing? I'm sure you're looking at your podcast list and seeing the show and going, wow, he actually did one this month. This is amazing. I know, you guys asked for 1 hour from me. And I've been really busy lately. I'm in the middle of moving. That's why it might be a little echoey in my room right now where I'm recording this. But I've been getting a lot of stuff done here in Orlando just kind of getting through a move right now. So that's why there was no show last month. And also, this is a really slow lull time for horror. There's not a lot of news coming out. There's not a lot of stuff really hitting on Netflix or just getting released in general because nobody really wants to watch horror in spring. I guess that's how they feel. I can watch it whenever. Obviously, that's why you're listening to the show. That's why I'm doing it. But yeah, so I kind of compiled all the news and reviews and information over last month and this month. So I'm just going to give it to y'all right now. And this show might be a little bit different from all the other ones. It's just going to be kind of a full rock talk podcast of updates, since I have so much, rather than doing a lot of clips and stuff. So hope you guys can stay with me, bear it, and enjoy. All right, you guys ready? All right, let's do this. First off, a lot of things got canceled while I was gone. Silent Hills is no more. Yeah, the Guillermo del Toro, Kojima pairing Norman Reedus franchise where they're going to take Silent Hill and make it a actual very scary, real, surreal kind of first-person game. They demoed it on the PlayStation. It was released not as Silent Hills, but as this random game called PT. And you found out if you beat the game that that's what it was. It was Silent Hills. Well, a lot of drama's been going down with Konami lately, and they kind of booted Kojima out. They're more centered towards their pachinko machines and casino machines that make way more money than actually putting a lot of money into a digital video game. The only big sellers they had really was the Metal Gear series, Silent Hill, and the Dance Dance Revolution franchises, and a lot of that. I mean, who Dance Dance Revolutions anymore? And yeah, I guess this is the last Metal Gear, so Kojima will probably find some other sort of avenue. I really hope they take that concept of Silent Hill and really do something with it. If not Silent Hill, then make another original horror game, because that game didn't even feel like Silent Hill, really, you know? So I'd like to see that come back in some sort of fashion. It just sucks that Konami would let something get put out that way, so it gets fans really into it, and they loved it. I mean, this was the first time we really got to hold a game like this in our hands and play it right off the bat. Usually you get like some sort of trailer, some sort of video game play at E3. This was like right in your hands the day of, and they were just like, you're gonna get this greatness. And yeah, no, it's swept from underneath us, and I guess a lot of the fans feel betrayed by Konami. They're the bad guys right now, so sign whatever petitions you can to save it. I would love to have it back, but it's whatever, I guess. Moving on, Constantine is also canceled by NBC. I guess the show is basically low ratings when it aired, and they said, hey, if you want to save Constantine, we're going to put it on every single episode on NBC.com, and we want you guys just to watch the show. If you guys get that the ratings start going up, we'll think about it. And I chipped in. I kept the show going on my second monitor while I worked, and I guess that wasn't enough, huh? Oh, yeah. So that kind of blows. I really liked the main guy who played Constantine. He did a really good job. But I guess there might be some life I'm hearing over at the Sci-Fi Channel, which is owned by NBC, or hell, even CW might pick it up, which would be kind of awful because I hate the fucking CW. It's not really a place for a really dark and gritty show. If anything, let AMC or HBO pick it up, you know? So yeah, those were two pretty sad, sad things that happened, and I was pretty bummed out about. The Human Centipede Part 3 Final Sequence trailer hit. It'll be released in theaters and video on demand on May 22nd. The film stars Dieter Laser from the original Human Centipede film and Lawrence R. Harvey from Part 2, the little creepy guy. I don't know if they're playing the same character, but apparently the director is actually in the movie, and he plays himself, kind of like the last one was kind of the guy was obsessed over the first movie. I don't know. Those movies are fucking crazy. But I feel like you have to see them once, just to say you saw them, you know? Like, I still own Human Centipede 1 just because I feel like at that time it was one of those, like, just gross out. Have you seen this? No. All right. We're sit down, pour a glass of beer and wine. We're going to fucking watch this, hammer it out. Yeah, that's coming out soon. I'll probably just VOD it, honestly. Big news in the Twin Peaks world. It's happening without David Lynch. Yes, you heard correct. Twin Peaks might happen without David Lynch. David Lynch announced via Twitter that he's excited that the project is still happening. But it looks like the Showtime just pulled it from him. He asked for too much money, and he said, if you want to do this project right, you got to do this. And they didn't want to fork over the cash, so he walked. And they're still going to go through with making it. The entire cast, or at least a lot of the cast members, did a cool Without David Lynch, There's No Twin Peaks video. You should go check it on YouTube. Yeah, it's really sad that kind of thing has to happen. I mean, maybe David Lynch was getting greedy, but I feel like, you know, for the build-up that he's had over all these years after that final finale, is just too perfect to just throw away. But yeah, you really cannot do Twin Peaks without David Lynch. That's just moronic. I would just give him the money that he needs. I mean, it's probably easy for me to say as a fan, and I'm not really forking over any cash, but, I mean, the dude, yeah, he's a creative genius, man. Just let him do what he wants. That's what I say. So, man, yeah, and I've been going through that too. Twin Peaks. I've been going through it on Netflix. Like, I'm afraid they're gonna take it off soon at some point, and I've only gone halfway through, so I'm finishing it up right now. I forgot how really off the rails season 2 gets. Yeah, it gets very, very weird, very dark. What's the slow motion screaming whenever they show the killer, and it's just like this really guttural, like slow motion growl, and it's just so creepy. And it goes on, and they have the white light on. Oh, it's crazy. It's a fun ride. I'm very interested to see what they'll do with today's effects. You know, get rid of the CG owl flying down, or with the owl in front of the blue screen. Yeah, so that'll be fun. An Ash vs. Evil Dead promo released this month. Or I guess last month. It premieres this fall on Stars. It's just cool to see Ash back in the Evil Dead world. Like, the remake was great and all, but we actually get Bruce Campbell back. He has, like, sidekicks, which didn't really work well for the video games. But they worked well in the comics, so I feel like if it's written well, it should be okay. But it'll just be cool to meet Ashley Williams again and do this. I know I'm just saying everything's gonna be really cool. It'd be really cool if they did this. I mean, that's what the podcast is for. That's geeking out, you know? I'm really excited for Bruce Campbell and it being back in Evil Dead. But there's a little out for it right now. Like, they just did the Crazy 8 trailer got leaked online, Quentin Tarantino's new movie, and then they swiped it away. It's gone again. And then they put it out illegally, and then they swiped it away again. So it just seems like nobody can ever keep their shit under wraps, and things keep leaking and going out of cracks, you know? I don't know. Yeah, so... X-Files, their first episode will air in January of 2016, coinciding with the NCAA games, so that'll be a lot of fun. honestly, I don't even watch the NCAA, but I guess it's a big thing, and it'll be a good ratings booster for Fox. I'm just excited to see Mulder and Scully back. It'll be dope. And they're all for it. Like, it's the opposite of Twin Peaks. Like, everybody's fine. Chris Carter's back. Mulder and Scully are back. I'm sure there'll be cameos from Skinner and the cigarette-smoking man and not the lone gunman, but, you know, whatever. It'll be great. The Hatbox Ghost is back at Disneyland. Now, I don't know if you guys know the old story of the Hatbox Ghost from the Haunted Mansion ride, but when they opened the attraction at Disneyland in California, the effect didn't work really well, where the ghost's, the spirit's head transferred from its shoulder on its neck to its little hatbox it's holding, and they quickly swiped it. So then there's been all these rumors that he's actually a ghost, that he's haunting the ride. It's kind of cool, like a little mythology thing going on, and I guess they brought him back, and he's, you know, with today's technology, man, that's super easy to do. We're making Tupac show up on concerts. How hard is it to show a ghost head pop in a box, you know? But nothing's confirmed here in Disney World. But I feel like that's a fair trade-off, because we get a freaking awesome ending where there's different mirrors and spirits hang out with you and transform your head into stuff and take them off and dance on you and all this crazy crap. Haunted Mansion over there doesn't get that. So I feel like they're going to get the Hatbox Ghost. We get our Hitchhiking Ghost ending, and all's well. You can't really modify that ride too much, you know? You gotta have some classic nostalgia for it. Like, just like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know? They added, like, the Jack Sparrow, just because now that's kind of more known for, you know, kids these days for Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not like an old man. Those kids these days. But yeah, they had to add him to that ride. It makes sense, I guess. So you modify those rides just a little bit. You don't tweak them. You tweak them just a bit to keep the nostalgia factor there and update them. Whereas Universal Universal will just completely demolish a ride and remake it, like King Kong that just got announced. I guess it's Skull Island is coming to Universal Orlando at the Islands of Adventure. The Islands of Adventure. Right between Jurassic Park and Toon Lagoon. It's currently being constructed right now and will be opening next year. I'm hearing a little bit of that it's going to be a little... I don't know. It's like the screen ride at Universal out in Hollywood, but a little bit modified. I don't know. It just looks huge. I've been seeing it at work being constructed, and it looks pretty great, so I can't wait for that one to happen. So yeah, that's about the news the last couple months. Yeah, 2 months, man. That's all that's happened. That's why I was like, I maybe had half of that, and I was like, God, guys, I really want to report more to you, but this is sad. So everything's getting canceled or not happening. So except for X-Files. Woo. So we'll just jump right into a few. How about this? What to watch on Netflix this month? There's some really great horror movies that I watched that I saw pop up on there. I figure I'd talk a little bit about The Houses That October Built. A great little film that came out about a year and a half ago, about a group of young Americans that get into a van and they make a whole map list of all the creepiest, scariest, uber haunted houses out there around Halloween. Not like your Halloween Horror Nights or your Knott's Berry Farm, like a legit scary extreme haunted house. And these things are getting more and more extreme. I'm sure you've heard all about them, where they do really gross stuff to you and everything. You sign waivers. But this one's a little bit more tame, and then there's something where, like, they kind of piss off the first haunted house crew, and then they travel across the the state to go to the next place. And who do they find in their van but one of the people from the first place? And now it's like the haunts following them. It's a really cool story. I really like this one a lot. I definitely picked up a copy for myself to keep because I liked it a lot. I think I'll try to make it a Halloween tradition to watch The Houses October Built. So try that one out. Definitely recommend it. Number two, obviously, The Babadook. You know, we've been hearing a lot about The Babadook before it hit Netflix. Now it's been out for a while. I'm sure a lot of you guys have already seen it, unless you're not really a big true horror fan, because that's probably one of the best horror films that have come out. within the last year. You know, little kid, little brat, dad passes away, mom can't stand that his kid's a little brat, reads him a book, shit goes down. There's more to it than that, but I don't really want to spoil it for you guys on the podcast. It's just, every time they show the creature, the Babadook, it's not a person in a costume. That's all I'm going to say, but I think that's what really captures the Babadook's mystery to me, is the technique that they used to show him. It's very dreamlike, and I love that a lot. So that was really good. Wolf Cop, can't go wrong with campy grindhouse Wolf Cop. That is also on Netflix right now. That's a lot of fun. Very gory, very campy. It's a good time. My personal favorite, probably from the last two decades, The Devil's Rejects, Rob Zombie's movie. I mean, even if you've seen the movie a whole bunch of times, it's right there. It's a click of the button. Put it on while you're, you know, getting ready for lunch or something, hanging out, cutting people's faces off. You know, that whole normal thing that you do every day. Probably one of the best performances I've ever seen out of Bill Moseley. Whatever Rob Zombie did, he really directed the shit out of that guy. Not saying he's a bad actor or anything. I love Bill to death. I see him at conventions all the time and give him a little high five. But he's just fucking scary as Otis. And definitely deserves everything that he's getting now, selling all those 8x10s. Last but not least, it's kind of a double header for films that are streaming right now on Netflix that might tingle your bones? Tingle your bones. Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3. A lot of people compare these films to later, like, Mad Max films, which I'll get to later. Not compare them in, like, the same film, but compare them in like, rating-wise, because 2 and 3 are kind of really not so great. But they have moments. Like, I love adult Angela that has already, you know, become a woman, and she uses that to her advantage to get some of these idiots killed. And it's like, it was right in the time when Freddy was hot, Jason was hot, Leatherface was hot. I think one of the covers too was Angela with her backpack. And she has a Freddy glove, a Jason mask, and a chainsaw in her backpack, and she actually uses those weapons in the movie to kind of kill some kids, and it's just insane. So definitely check those two out right now from Screen Factory. Actually, it has them on there. I don't know if they have them on there. I didn't know they had the rights. And Sleepaway Camp 1 and 2, 1, or 2 and 3 are coming out very soon on Blu-ray with special features, so look forward to that. Alright, what else? Oh, the rest in peace. Oh, man. There are some sad ones. Tom Towles, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and House of Thousand Corpses. He passed away at the age of 71 on March 29th. That's very sad. I met Tom a few times at Spooky Empire and local shows, and he was a good guy. He always loved seeing fans, and it was great to see his career flourish just a little bit with Rob's help, so he will definitely be missed. Robert Zadar from the cult film Maniac Cop passed away at the age of 64 of a heart attack on March 30th. So it was literally like one day after another, like all these great horror icons were dropping like flies. And it was very sad. Also another veteran to a lot of horror conventions around. Jeffrey Lewis also, of course he was in Lawnmower Man, Devil's Rejects. Passed away at the age of 79 of natural causes on April 7th. So he will definitely be missed. And it's weird that, you know, all I say that they're all from Rob Zombie films, not Robert, but the other two. I think it's only because those actors, Rob kind of picks a lot of older actors, aged actors that have been in a lot of classic movies that he kind of grew up with. And they may have got their first, second shot. But after that, you know, Hollywood kind of shit on them, and they just kind of had to go back to doing whatever they had to do, and they would just, you know, do a convention and sell the only two headshots they had for pennies. And, you know, he gave them life. He put them in, you know, House of Thousand Corpses just filled with classic horror actors and actresses, you know, Karen Black, for instance, you know, RIP to her too, you know. And it you know, it's cool that he does that. A lot of people, you know, they look away from that, and I think he's doing that now with his new movie 31. He still has some veteran actors in there, but not as much. But it's cool that there's a director out there that actually cares and wants to do stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. But for right now, we'll take a break, and I'll be back right after these messages from myself. Mwah! Do you all like getting stuff in the mail? Do you like getting scary things in the mail? Do you like horrifying things in the mail? Well then, subscribe right now to Horror Block! Mwahaha! Okay, I can't keep it up. Horror Block right now is offering some great stuff this month. Something from Silent Hill. What is it? Who knows? It could be a t-shirt. It could be a stuffed animal. It could be an action figure. It could be whatever you want. Right now at horrorblock.com. They have tons and tons of gifts and creepy crawly t-shirts and customized things each month, and you get it all crammed into one box. It's $20 worth of stuff. Technically, it's like $30 to $50 worth of stuff. You're getting it in a box for $20 a month. Just head over to nerdblock.com right now and sign up. They have a lot of great stuff. Even if you're not into horror, which I'm sure you are because you're listening to my show, you love horror. Nerdblock.com/horror. That's nerdblock.com/horror. Soylent Green might be people, but Horror Block is pretty righteous. Boogie Woogie Man by Glenn Gray.
Children, here's a story of a new kind of boogeyman, and he doesn't scare you with an eerie scream. He's a leader of a solid ghost boogie woogie band, and he makes them play on the beam. Every night when you're asleep, he starts with a rolling bass, and it's sure to put a nightmare in your dream. When he gets them in the groove, they all start to rock the place, cause he makes them play on the beam. No one knows who he is, anybody could be him. Folks who peek take a peek and they claim they don't see him. So if you hear a piano and there's nobody playing it, and it's playing boogie like nobody can, when it hits a rhythm and your feet start obeying it, look out, it's a boogie woogie man. Tune that he plays, it's a tune that he made up. And the ghost union card that he carries is paid up. He's really from another world, he's out of this hemisphere. He's been sought by Philo Vance and Charlie Chan. If it's boogie woogie music, he's liable to appear. Look out, it's a boogie woogie man. It's a boogie woogie man. It's a boogie woogie man.
Ooh, yeah. Man, I love me some vintage Halloween tunes. So, what else do we have? Oh, great, we have reviews! How could I forget reviews? Alright, let's see. Let's do movies first. Yeah, I'll do horror movies that I've seen recently, and then we'll move on to video games. What We Do in the Shadows... I just hit VOD recently, and I got a chance to sit down and watch that. It is fucking hilarious. I laughed so goddamn hard at that movie. It pretty much steals all the best tropes of vampire facts and throws it all together in this one movie. And it kind of takes place like a reality show where the cameramen follow around the vampires who all live under one roof, kind of like a real world thing. But it's not as campy as that. This movie still stays pretty pretty dark at times while trying to stay light with the humor. And it's from the guys that worked on Flight of the Conchords. And they just do a great job, man. They know comedy and edits. The edits are so quick and spot on. The Nosferatu is probably my favorite character on the movie, actually. Jamie. I don't want to give too much away, but it's really cool how they stick with the gore. They stick with the violence. They just keep it fun, you know? Like, I would definitely watch that movie probably four or five more times. I can't believe I missed it when it came out to some of the theaters around here. But I was glad I finally got to see it. It was really cool. So check that one out right now. Next up, Daredevil on Netflix. Okay, I know you're saying that's not horror. But it is gory. It is pretty goddamn gory. Some people are afraid of, you know, Jason Voorhees. Some people are afraid of the tall man from Phantasm. Other people are afraid of the Kingpin, because he can take his hands and wrap them around your skull and just crush your skull like an egg. He kind of does this at one point with a car door to somebody, and it is fucking intense. Like, I have not seen a show like that gory in quite a while, so other than like the stuff that's on AMC or A&E with like Bates Motel and stuff, but even then those shows aren't even that gory. Like, Netflix, they stepped up their game. Like, I want to see them take over a Punisher show, because apparently they got the rights back. Marvel got the rights back to all their Marvel Knight characters, which are kind of the darker Marvel characters. That's Ghost Rider, Blade, Punisher, anybody that had a Marvel Knights comic at one point, they got those rights back. So I'm sure they were cheap. I think Lionsgate had them recently. You saw the two Nick Cage Ghost Riders. You saw the last Blade Trinity movie. I'm sure they bought those rights back with ease. So I think they'll probably get sold to Netflix to do adaptations. I know right now in the pipeline they got Pulse with Jessica Drew and Luke Cage that they're going to do, and they're going to do an Iron Fist show that ties in with Daredevil. But I really want that Punisher show. I think it'll be great, and it would be just as gory as this. But it's not just the gore that makes Daredevil great. The writing is also pretty solid, and it's something that I haven't seen in quite a while in a superhero show, because I'm not really into The Flash. I'm not really into Arrow. To me, those shows bore me. I think it's the CW that just fucking kills it for me. I even like Constantine, and that was kind of like bordering on the line of pretty campy but dark. So that's why I stuck around a little bit longer. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that show, it's good. Like, it started off really bad, and then it hit a point where the tied in with the Winter Soldier movie, and it got great. It got really dark. The main pretty boy turns into a... Oh, okay, I don't want to say. But yeah, so a lot of the superhero shows have been hit and miss, but Daredevil really did something special. If you like the redhead from True Blood, she's in it too. The kid from Mighty Ducks. Yeah, I'm so good with names. But Ben Urich is in there. It's a good time. Yeah, I think it's 12 episodes. You can kill it super quick. It's like, what, two work days if you have it on your phone propped up next to your computer monitor. So check that out. Went to the theater. I sat down and saw Lazarus Effect. What can I say about Lazarus Effect? I mean, Olivia Wilde's in it, and that's definitely a plus for anybody that wanted to see that. Women like her because she's fun and a badass, and guys like her for the obvious reasons. But I don't know. There was even really cool cameos. Donald Glover's in there. Kid from American Horror Story, he's in there. Evan Peters. And there's solid casting in the movie. It's just, it's like, it feels like a really bad remake of The Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon. A lot of scientists try and, you know, bring back an animal. It doesn't work at first, but then it does. And then, of course, something bad happens to Olivia Wilde's character, and they bring her back, but something's not right. And apparently, by going back, she gets some sort of lesson taught to her by the devil, and now she can do all of these devil tricks. It felt like a straight-to-DVD Lionsgate film with really good actors in it. Even the kills are really bad. At one point, they throw a character into a cabinet, and then she crushes it with her mind, and blood kind of drips out in the bottom of it. Scene. Done. End. Next. Uh-oh. Who's gonna die next? Ugh, Jesus Christ. Like, it's just cannon fodder for horror movies that come and go. I wasn't really a big fan of that one. So that one you can skip, honestly, but yeah, you might like it. Who knows? Maybe your girlfriend or boyfriend's a really big Olivia Wilde fan. Alright, what else we got? I went through the Mad Max films recently. Man, talk about some badass movies. Well, the first two. Mad Max comes out this Friday in theater, so I figured I'd sit down and just power through the three films that came out. And I hadn't seen them since I was a kid. And I remember I really liked the second one. The Thunderdome is almost unwatchable. At least I think so. I mean, the best actor in that movie was Tina Turner's hair. it's something that just doesn't quite work in that era of filmmaking. It was, I guess it was the early 90s when that movie came out. Oh man, I gotta fact check myself here. I'm supposed to have this stuff down. What's wrong with you, Keenan? Man. Mad Max. 1985. See, it didn't even come out in the 90s, but it just had like that cheesy 90s feel to it. It's not even the cheesy stuff, because I love cheesy movies, man. I totally get the factor of the time that you're working with. You got women with shoulder pads. You got to roll with it, as long as the writing is good. But yeah, no, Thunderdome's awful. I love the second movie. Very good pacing. Not a lot of dialogue, believe it or not. It's kind of like the first movie, where it's just you're just in it. It's like a very long clip scene of a video game. And you know, Mel Gibson's good with the little bit of dialogue that he even uses in those movies. And the villain from the original one, he's coming back for the new Mad Max. It's the same actor, and I thought his performance was by far the best in the first movie. And apparently he's a Shakespearean actor, so he's really going to use his acting chops in this new movie coming out this Friday. But he has like a crazy gnarly white wig and a gas mask and stuff on. I really think this movie is going to be violent as hell. And from what all the reviews are saying recently is that it's revolutionary for the violent action movie. Because we've been having a lot of, you know, superhero movies lately. And they've been trying to bring back the Invincibles, the Incredibles, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and all those guys. Expendables. Yeah, like those movies are like, they're good action movies, I guess, but not, I don't know, they can't be at the same time. The Fast and Furious movies are good action movies, but they're all cars and woo! So it's cool to see like a new, like really creepy, crazy, just road warrior film come out. So yeah, that one looks pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, no, it was really great going through the original movies. I totally forgot about that kid in the second movie with the boomerang. His little backflip in the hole right after he throws that and like kills the one the Raiders twink guy that hangs out with him. He gets it in his head, and then the older guy tries to catch it and gets his fingers cut off, and it's just like, well, you just saw what happened with the boomerang hitting the other guy in the head. Why would you try and catch that? And everybody just laughs because the guy's an idiot and he's sitting there holding his fingers. It's like an older, like wiser guy you'd think in the post-apocalyptic world, but obviously not. But so yeah, that was a really good fun trip. I was really glad I went through those movies. I thought about going through the Fast and Furious movies for like all of 5 seconds before I saw that last one, and yeah, it didn't happen. I just went and saw it. So I feel like my time was spent much better watching the Mad Max films once again. But man, I'll tell you, the third film was a slug. I had to really trudge through it. That's for sure. So let's move on to trailers. Movie trailers that have come out since the last time that I've talked to you guys. Not really horror, but great, great practical effects. And if you guys like horror, you really like seeing no CG. And even this movie has a little bit of it, it still gets a pass because it's freaking Star Wars. The Force Awakens trailer released, and we're getting little things here and there of characters. Apparently the Sith Lord, the dark, evil, red lightsaber. See, still kind of horror and scary. Kylo Ren got his face revealed. Esquire, it was Esquire magazine? I think it was Vanity Fair or Esquire, one of those magazines. So I think it's kind of cool. It's a good approach to doing the opposite of what Star Wars did with Darth Maul. They released Darth Maul's look on all the kids' toy packaging way ahead of time, and we got to see these clips of him doing backflips, and he was the face of Episode 1, and people were just like, this guy looks badass! He's like the face in the back of The Exorcist, Captain Howdy. Fucking scary shit. It's gonna be great. And then he's like Boba Fett. He's like barely in the movie, and he gets killed off, and that's it. Done. Spoiler alert. But so it was kind of disappointing to see this really badass character just get off so quickly, and he had this big reveal. So in this movie, I feel like they're like, you know, Revan got shown off, or Kylo Ren got shown off with the mask on, and they just kind of really revealed it in the magazine because he's a regular guy. Because if you would save the revealing of a badass Sith Lord that has a red lightsaber and two red ones on the side, and he takes his mask off and he's some like skinny pale goth kid, fans would fucking flip tables. So show him off now, you're like, oh, he's got the mask, he's still kind of a badass. I guess maybe when he puts the mask on, he becomes even more badass, who knows. So and they're making smart moves. I think that franchise is in a good place with the Mouse House. But I love, they just did a Star Wars Celebration, and they had BB-8, the android that runs on a ball that has a, like, his head floats on the top. I still don't know how they freaking do it, man. I've seen YouTube tutorials, and I still don't get it, but it's really cool that J.J. Abrams is going back to practicals, like, big painted, you know, Jabba the Hutt was really there, you know, Princess Leia sat right next to him, Carrie Fisher just probably felt and smelled latex for, like, days on end in that freaking barge. So I'm really happy we're going to see a lot of that, a lot of aliens and creatures in this movie. I mean, that's my thing. I like monsters, so I'm really excited about that. Moving on, we got the Dawn of Justice trailer too. Again, another superhero thing. I know, I keep bringing it up because there's nothing else. There's no horror. But yeah, Dawn of Justice. Bat Affleck. You know, I'm not a hater. I think he looks pretty all right. That robot voice is a little weird, but at the same time, we don't know if that's Bruce Wayne's voice or not. If it's modulated in that suit, because isn't his mouth showing? It's only his eyes that are covered? I don't know. Could be Jesse Eisenberg in the Lex Luthor robot costume asking Superman if he bleeds, because technically they haven't met yet in Man of Steel. That's my geek news for you. Don't jump on it just now. The Tales of Tales trailer dropped. I don't know if you guys seen this thing, but it looks intense. Like, I'm talking, I've never seen a movie with John C. Reilly. Anybody. I mean, Selma Hayek and John C. Reilly are in this movie. It's a foreign film. It looks like Guillermo del Toro's crazy dreams. Like, with that guy, you know, his fairy tale dreams that just don't make any sense, but they're there. You gotta watch the YouTube trailer right now. Go do it. Go watch it. It's pretty intense. That's another one on my watch list for this year. Oh man, sorry if I sound super stuffed up, man. This is moving all the dust everywhere. It's getting me crazy. It's getting me all stuffed up. And I'm sad I'm leaving. All right, let's move on to video game news. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you're gonna love this dead air that I'm doing right now with no edits. I played a little Bloodborne. Should I say I played a little bit of Bloodborne? I died a lot of Bloodborne. That's what really happened. Bloodborne is this game that came out for the PlayStation 4 that has very little save spaces, and you can get hit probably 3 times and die. And I can't say that I did a very good job at the game because I didn't really get very far in it because I suck that bad. And it sucks because, like, I'm going to be defending myself. I'm really good, guys. Stop making fun of me. I've gotten to the point where now where I, after my last save, I have memorized where everybody is. All these werewolves and killers, madmen with torches. And I kill them, but then, like, you know, you just get so far before the next save point, and then I die, and I can only do it so many times until I'm done. So I'm officially done with Bloodborne. I suck. I can't beat it. I'm just moving on to Mortal Kombat X, which fucking, by the way, is amazing. And I just got Jason Voorhees, who released for it. And let me tell you, that Lake Mist is off the chain. You can go into Lake Mist and turn up on the other side, kind of like how Scorpion can evaporate into flame and go off one way and come out the other side. Jason just slowly walks in the mist and shows up right behind you. It's lovely. Everything that they did with Jason's character in that game is spot on, and they don't just make a sprite with a hockey mask and give him the same moves that they would any other character. But he's just brutal, and his fatalities and his brutalities, the way his head cocks to the side and he slices and dices with his machete, and he's just a fucking powerhouse in that game, man. And I can't play anybody else. Like, I just have so much fun playing with Jason. I'm sure until when they release the Predator, and then I'll be over on that side. But for right now, just playing as Jason Voorhees is a lot of fun. I hope they bought some sort of new line agreement to where they... I mean, they had Freddy Krueger in the last one, but they only had the new version that Haley played instead of Robert Englund. And I was hoping maybe they would kind of do like a skin change where it would just be like, you know, Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger costume, or like the superhero black and white Freddy Krueger costume. And they didn't do any DLC like that. I was kind of pissed. So I'm hoping in this game maybe they also might do that, where they give Jason different costumes where he might have the sack on his head, or he might have Jason X. I mean, that's free money. I don't know why you wouldn't do it, Warner Brothers. But yeah, it's so much fun. I love that game so much. Pretty addicted to it, and I think that's another reason why I just kind of taken a break on Bloodborne, because I just keep dying in that game. And at least I'm somewhat good on Mortal Kombat and going online and fighting for my clan. So it's a lot of fun. The other game I played for the Xbox One, White Knight, which is a very beautiful game with a lot of there's only white and black in the game, so it's a very dark game, and all your edges and colors you're absent of colors is just white. So you have a flashlight and you can only move around, and everything is white, and you're walking through a haunted house pretty much, and there's spirits that you can't really get around, or they'll kill you by scaring you to death. So you kind of have to avoid them and figure out puzzles, and it kind of reminds me of the old Resident Evils and Silent Hills on how to get through certain areas. And I had a lot of fun. We did a Twitch stream of it a few nights ago on the Twitch page for the Everyday's Halloween podcast, and we got a lot of listeners on there, and they were kind of helping me out on how to get through it and what I was doing wrong, and we just, you know, they were laughing, and yeah, laughing with me or laughing at me, I don't know, but it's still a really good time. So I appreciate the guys over there that lent out the code for White Knight. Definitely recommend that game 110%. If it starts going on sale around Halloween, I'll definitely let you guys know to check that out. But without further ado, guys, that's the show this month. I know, a little slow in the news. I figure I'd just kind of give you guys a little rundown of what's going on, what's out there. No real Halloween Horror Night news. coming out as of yet, but if there's anything, I'll let you guys know. Nothing for the other haunts around town. Right now, I think this weekend here in Orlando is Spooky Empire's Mayhem Festival, and they have Halloween Extreme, which is a subside convention where they do more Halloween props and haunted houses and stuff. But I will not be there, sadly, this year. I probably will wait till October to go to the Spooky Empire then. But right now, it's too busy with the move. Can't do that. But I'll leave you guys right now with some Halloween vintage music. Keep the show old school. And I'll talk to you guys in my new place in June. Until then, stay scary and have a great October/May. Put a little Halloween pep in your step. See ya.
There's a spook in Tin Pan Alley walking on the piano keys.
He's a jiving ghost who can make the most
of his rhythmic tendencies.
Better get wise, cause if he tries, he will soon have you beating his rhythm when you meet the boogie, woogie, boogie man.
Be sure every night
that you lock the door tight,
turning on every light,
making all the room bright.
If you don't do it right,
what a terrible fright
he will give you when he comes.
Ooh, I'm the boogeyman, the terrible, horrible boogeyman. I come in the middle of the night and frighten bad little girls like you. Beware, better have a care, I'm going to follow you everywhere. I crawl through the ceiling and the wall and call on bad little girls like you. I'll torture you and haunt you. I've got you where I want you, a victim of my dark and dirty plot. And at the slightest whim, I'll tear you limb from limb. In other words, I'll put you on the spot.
When skeleton in the closet started to dance, all the witches were in stitches while his steps made rhythmic thumps, and they nearly dropped their broomsticks when he tried to do the bumps. You never heard such an earthly laughter or such hilarious groan when skeleton in the closet rattled his bones.
And the windows creak and the ceilings leak, cause the roof's antique, and you hear a shriek and your legs feel weak. It's the haunted house. There's a dismal moan like a weird trombone, and an old ham bone is suddenly thrown. You are all alone with a great unknown in the haunted house.
Folks, now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest, toughest frail. Minnie had a heart as big as the whale. Hoody ho, hoody ho,
hoody ho, hoody ho,
hoody ho, hoody ho, hoody
ho, hoody ho.
Children, here's the story of a new kind of boogeyman, and he doesn't scare you with an eerie scream. He's the leader of a solid ghost boogie-woogie band, and he makes them play on the beam. Every night when you're asleep, he starts with a rolling bass, and it's sure to put a nightmare in your dreams. When he gets them in the groove, they all start to rock the place, cause he makes them play on the beam.
In the Tower of London, large as life,
large as life,
the ghost of Anne Boleyn walks, I declare.
He declares.
For Anne Boleyn was once King Henry's wife.
King Henry's wife.
Until he made the Edmund Bobberere.
Bobberere.
With her head
Barret
tucked Barret underneath her arm, she walks the bloody tower.
with the red,
the red
tucked underneath her arm at the midnight hour.
By a graveyard door, someone whistles, let me do that mysterious noise. Or on some dark stormy night, while a tempest blows, someone yodels, let me do that mysterious noise.
Every marrow bone with pride, a sort of sneaking round, a freaking round, along the sea, the moonlight pale. Every night, when you dim the light, you can hear the bogey wail.
You can tell me I'm not wanted, but the joints will still be haunted, 'cause I'm the ghost of Smokey Joe. Remember when I kicked the bucket in my mansion up on Stivers Row? When they came and took me off in a $1 million coffin, 'cause I'm the ghost of Smokey Joe. And should the boots you're walking, just tell her you've been talking to the ghost of Smokey Joe.
That's it. Show's done. Stop listening. Seriously. Go back in your coffin. No? Still listening? That's cool. Well, we can do this all day. Well, if you just want to listen... Oh, yeah!
Jason wins. Fatality.